but right now it's time to switch gears and talk politics. We've got two of the sharpest political minds joining us. Let's go into the arena. And joining us today are John Ridley, a contributor to NPR and Esquire magazine, and Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason.com.
Welcome to you both.
Welcome, Nick. Nice to see you.
All right, great to see you, Nick. Thank you.
Hey, John, how are you?
This is the season of fringe candidates. A switch has been flipped in the country, and they are coming out of the woodwork. We'll get to that in a minute, but first, let's take a look at some tape from Carl Paladino, known as Crazy Carl by the local media. He has certainly livened up the New York race for governor. He's the Republican candidate. Take a look at this little tidbit that we've got for you.
And don't misquote me as wanting to hurt homosexual people in any way. That would be a dastardly lie. My approach is live and let live. I just think my children and your children will be much better off and much more successful getting married and raising a family. And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option. It isn't.
I think, you know, Paladino, the first sign something was wrong, anybody who calls them homosexuals, you know, that what's coming next is not going to be, I love them dearly. I think that part of it is in New York, a state which you're rumored to have some experience
with. You think I understood,
Yeah, you know, look, Andrew Cuomo and Carl Paladino, it's like, you know, and I say this because my mother was Italian, I was born in Brooklyn, so I have 100% insulation against anti-Italian epithets, but we're looking at Fredo Corleone versus Fredo Corleone. I mean, this is a horribly weak pool.
There is such a sense of failure in the entire leadership class of our society, D's and R's, that people are beginning to stretch out
and
the spectrum of what's acceptable.
The followers have also let us all down, I think, as well. I mean, I think there's enough blame to go around, but it is true, and I think it goes back to this Dems and Republicans. Look, the 21st century, I mean, we all, I suspect, grew up figuring that we'd be in our personal hovercrafts by now or doing a Jetson.
Where's my jetpack?
Where's my jetpack? And it's like, you know, we have had 10 years in this decade, and it's the worst. I mean, it's just, it's really awful, and we had, you know, 6 years of Republican rule, which was awful and disastrous on every level, and everything since then has been equally bad. I mean, of course, you're going to start looking in the bushes, and you find people like Christine O'Donnell, who did run. I mean, she beat a non-entity, Mike Castle. Everybody's like, oh, he's the great man of Delaware. Who cares? I mean, he's a lifelong politician. He's a hack. He had no personality. And what she came out with, and the reason she won, is she was saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to cut spending. We're spending too much. Nobody cares about the other stuff.
Well, let me ask you what you think of this. I would make the argument that the Republican Party has been catering to a sort of a fringe element for a long time, trying to build the base and build the base. And now, is this the devil demanding his due? Are we finally now seeing the payback? I mean, William F. Buckley spent a lot of his time trying to marginalize who he considered to be the kooks. And now the kooks have come home to roost.
After 2008, people thought the Republicans would be dead. There's nothing. What are we going to do? Where do we get our traction? And it was very difficult to get traction, in my opinion, when you're saying no to everything. Rightly or wrongly, there weren't a lot of new ideas. But all of a sudden, there was this anger cropping up. And it's something that you can buy into, you can tap into, and you can use that. But it's like in California, where we've got all kinds of wildfires, and you want to do a little burn back. But all of a sudden, you lose control of that.
Well, this is what I call pinball politics. The volatility is almost like volatility on steroids.
But I don't think it's volatile. I think what we are seeing, hopefully, you know, not to go kind of Hegelian on, you know, on an early evening show, but we've had thesis and antithesis. That was the Republicans saying, we're going to spend our way into the poorhouse and we're going to fight stupid wars that we can't justify anymore. Then you get the pinball, which is the Democrats coming in and saying, no, we're going to spend even more and we're going to double down on Afghanistan and follow Bush in Iraq anyway and not clarify anything. What we're seeing now might be a synthesis, which is that people everywhere, and it's inchoate, it's inarticulate, and oftentimes it's stupid, but they're saying that we have to stop spending. The government at the federal level, at the state level, and at the local level, I'm in the private sector and I'm getting screwed. And I don't see that happen. The reason that's happening is because of this, you know, metastasizing government at all levels. And that's why I think this is different. Nobody's voting for Carl Paladino. I mean, he probably won't win anyway. But the candidates who can credibly say we need to reboot government.
What is going on, in my view, is that what we have seen here is a public desperate for an answer, latching on to anybody who stands up and says, I have an answer, irrational as they seem.
On another level, though, can you say, you know, part of my problem is for what's going on, I blame President Obama and the Democrats. I mean, when this thing flared up, you can go to the birther movement, anything like that.
When you say this thing, what do you mean?
When I'm talking about the anger that's out there and the way that it's been allowed to just grow and rage, you know, nobody's really stood up against it. My problem is I think that the president, I'm talking about the president of the United States.
I mean, shouldn't people be angry? And you were talking earlier about
that.
We have an absolute reason to be angry. We just celebrated the 10th anniversary in Afghanistan. And nobody in the country can say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing.
You're right. I'm not talking about the anger about the issues. Everything we're talking about here, when you talk about reducing government, we've got to do this or that, we got to get out of Afghanistan. There are enough issues out there, whether left, right, or center, that there's something you can gravitate to. What we're talking about is this fringe element that feels like it can say anything, and that's the way that it grabs onto votes. My problem is that the president, in my opinion, for too long has been standing above it all saying, this will burn itself out. People can say what they want, they can bring whatever argument they want to the table, and at some point, it will just burn itself out. You don't see that happening.
It is righteous anger at a government which is unresponsive and stupid in its major actions that it's taking. And this is, it's going to continue as all of the little tidbits about Obamacare come out and say, okay, now with medical savings accounts, you need a prescription to buy over-the-counter
drugs.
There
would have been a way for the president to articulate what was going on had he actually not embraced Wall Street the way he did.
I don't think he gets it, though. I mean, he's a total tool of Wall Street. I mean, there's no question.
Well, I wouldn't say quite that way, as critical as I've been. Look, I'm the one who started the show saying Tim Geithner should be fired.
Maybe I would.
I don't know.
You know, but I mean, why would you put in, and remember, everybody's like, oh, Geithner, he's the only one who can do it. Save us, Tim Geithner.
Yeah.
He's a joke. He was a joke in his hearings, and he's been totally ineffectual.
Well, look, you can see how much people are talking about who's a witch, who isn't, the headless bodies in the Nevada deserts and things like that. But they're not really talking about, are we spending this money effectively? Because there's arguments to be made about, should we have spent more money? Is the problem that we're not spending? I know that you are going to not agree with that. But you look at, you know, the bailout, $60 billion is what TARP is basically going to cost us at this point. It may cost less.
Don't buy that.
All right,
okay.
Gentlemen.
I mean, if you buy that government accounting, that's one of the reasons we're in this fix.
Yeah, but here's my thing. If you buy that government accounting at $60 billion, it could have started, it started $700 billion. Could have gone much further. Look at procurement programs in the Defense Department. Look
Absolutely.
At the Joint Strike Fighter, which is going to cost. Even just give me a minute saying you're going to buy that $60 billion.
Okay, this is fascinating. Hey, listen. I'd just like to point out that President Obama has now recently lashed out at Karl Rove. Is Karl Rove the reliable boogeyman?
Wait,
is this the
sure.
right?
Did you diss me when I was actually when I was coming around to the numbers? When I got off the fringe arguments and actually brought it around to the numbers.
Defense spending could probably be cut in half with no loss to national security.
They ignored me.
But yeah. Karl Rove is clearly the, you know, he's the Professor Moriarty of American politics. He's running everything. No, this is, it's not even desperate. I mean, this is like a Brett Favre type exhibition of we have nothing left. If you're talking about Karl Rove, what year is it?
I'm always a little suspect, honestly, when they bring up very specific people like Rove, like Gillespie, like Boehner, things like that. The other one.
By the way, I just want to point out that I'm not part of the Ed Gillespie clan. He's from Texas. I'm with the Brooklyn Gillespies, okay?
I really don't think that it plays across America. And I'm not, I don't want to put out there that people don't care or they're not bright or they're not dialed in, but I don't think that that's what they care about. I don't think they care about Karl Rove's name. I don't think they go through a checklist. I mean, most people are trying to keep track of who the vice president is, as opposed to keep track of who was in Bush's head.
I think even the vice president is trying to keep track of who the vice president is.
I think we got to cut him some slack. But look, I'm with you. I think this is not a strategy that's going to work. The president should be talking about what his theory is for creating jobs and solving our economic crisis. Pinning it on Karl Rove and Bush at this point simply isn't going to sell people.
Yeah.
It does seem that. I mean, this is not an affirmative argument. The president of the United States should make an affirmative argument, but somebody else.
He does not have one. Plainly. I mean, because that's what
does.
The stimulus was, and it didn't work. It didn't work. It actually made everything worse, according to his own projections. He's out of ideas, if he ever had them in the first
problem,
place.
The problem, Nick, is that
and
the slogan,
that's why he's
the slogan it would have been worse without the stimulus, doesn't quite roll off your tongue. Is it something you want to vote for?
Well,
thank you for coming. Fascinating conversation. We hope you will come back. Coming up, some simple rules and what politicians should not do on camera.